Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamer Cast. My name is Lion. With me, as always, is Nathan. Wait, Nathan?
I know.
Oh, fuck. Holy shit.
Who's this asshole?
What a fucking idiot. Welcome back.
Yeah, and I mean, knock on wood, I'm finally done traveling for the year. But I do have 4 tournament applications still pending for playoffs and championships and all that. So I do expect to get a lot of rejections for those, because to claim that I am qualified to ref, say, champs would be a stretch.
Okay. There you go. I'm drinking the Yuge tonight. What are you drinking, Nathan?
I picked up another kind of sample pack of Granville Island Brewing, so I have a honey lager and an island lager, because that was what was in my fridge at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It's Jaded Gamercast. It's the summer, which means there's fucking nothing to talk about. nothing's been released. Nobody's doing anything right now.
Well, I was going to say, War Machine Mark III has been released, but only true. I have read part of that, and that would make for a really bad episode where I'm like, hey, Lang, guess what's changed? You'd be like, I never played Mark II. I don't even know.
I'd be sitting there listening, making color commentary. It'd be exciting. Everyone would enjoy it.
Well, I don't know about that, but that's why we opted not to do Mark III coverage yet.
Yes. So let's get this thing started by talking a little bit about what we did this week in hobby. So I mostly just argued with people online about Dawn of War 3.
which can be a hobby in and of itself.
It can be, but
especially as the game gets closer to release. I mean, that's like a good year of hobby time.
Exactly. That's the whole point of it, man. E3 came out. We had all sorts of shit. I did play some X-Wing this weekend with good old John Kingsway, formerly John Kingsway. And, you know,
now it was just John.
It's just Jason Stevens now.
Right.
That's all it is. The saddest day on the world. But no, we had some fun. We played some games. I played the first round with just my 4 Y-Wings and kicked the shit out of them. Didn't even lose a Y-Wing. And then the next round I played with the Ghost from Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicked the shit out of me and didn't even lose a TIE fighter. So, you know.
Oh, dice games.
It was an interesting combination. It was just like the way that our lists were built. It would have been much better if like I'd have played my list against his first list, and then I'd have played my second list against his list. Would have made a little bit more sense. Like it would have, you know, would have been a little bit of a better, like more competitive game on both sides. But just the way that we had built stuff, it just made it really easy for Y-Wings to just ion cannon the shit out of the 2 ships he had on the table.
Oh, yeah.
And for me,
Y-Wings, you have enough ion cannon tokens to disable both of them.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much all it came down to. So it was pretty fun, though. We enjoyed ourselves. We had a good time. But yeah, no, the Dawn of War 3 trailer, there was some very interesting comments that came out of the post that I made on the Jaded Gamercast Facebook group about, like, it's shit and looks like shit.
Mm-hmm.
To which a lot of people decided that I was saying that the game would be shit.
Now, oh, no. I mean, it is way too early to tell if exactly. The game will be shit. Judging by Games Workshop's insistence that all IP licensed games be the absolute cutting edge of 10 years ago, I suspect that will do it in, because it looks like a bastardized marriage of Warcraft 3 and Starcraft 2.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which are exceedingly old games by technology standards.
Oh,
so
yeah.
To me, I feel like that is what we'll do the game in, but there is always hope that someone within, what, Relic? Are they the ones?
Yeah, it is Relic.
Someone within Relic will just be like, hey guys, why don't we try to innovate something so that our game isn't just going to be shelved and have a cult following of people that just like 40K.
We had kind of talked about this before, but I'll bring it up again since you're here. There are certain styles of games that don't really evolve, or they move backwards, right? Like SimCity is a good example of that. That game evolved until probably, what, SimCity 3000, where it was kind of the pinnacle of like all the shit you could do and all the micromanaging you had to do. And then every consecutive game after that just kept taking things out and making the game easier and making the game more simple. And by the time you got to the newest SimCity, the one that you and I played...
You were Warhammer, like Age of Sigmar? Just,
SimCity?
I see you just taking shit out until it was. Anyway,
Oh, okay, I see.
clearly you missed it.
I got you.
All right. Okay.
You know,
I
so
haven't.
that.
I've been gone for 3 weeks. Maybe my wit is a little slower than it needs to be.
Your
I'm out of
delivery was off. I
practice.
didn't then. I was like, did you mishear me? We're talking about
No.
video games.
I'm just out of practice. Don't worry,
Yeah.
it'll
All
come
right. Well,
back.
you'll get back in. We
It's like
do
riding a
it
bike. It's like
before.
riding a bike.
You need to be drunk to ride that bike. Like that game, they just kept taking stuff away to the point where it's not even like the game you wanted it to be anymore. Your map is really small. You can't do as much. It's all online for some fucking reason. It's crashing. It's glitchy as shit. And when it comes to RTS games, RTS games also haven't really evolved at all. They've not really done anything new. And even if there is something new, it's like, oh, there's this new unit and its gun does this, which isn't anything new. So when I see this trailer, like you said, the 10 years ago game is exactly what we're seeing here. We're not really seeing anything new except a fucking Imperial Knight drops from the ceiling and shoots guns. But what I really fucking hated about this trailer was like it's an E3 demo. You know, you're supposed to be showcasing your game, getting people on to play it, and like it just looks like shit. It's not even 60 frames a second, it's not 1080p, it's all blurry. It's like there's nothing there to see, and literally almost like it's a game of 40K, like the two armies are lined up on either side of the board, just shooting at each other, and almost nothing's moving.
Although, let's be honest, they were exceptionally proud of the Assault Marine, like
Oh.
StarCraft II jump pack effect, because I
Oh.
think in the 3 minutes of gameplay, we saw it a good 11 times. Like, they're just like, listen, man, this right here is going to sell this game. This one effect that is 6 years old. Come on, everybody, say it with me.
Get in there, get in there.
Platinum.
And again, people seem to think that if you slap pre-alpha all over it, that it's a license to have a shitty trailer or it's a license to show shitty gameplay. Man, hold on to your shit until it's ready to show it. You know, it's the same
Right.
reason why trailers don't show you like pre-alpha movie and it's like you see all the wires and the see they're all standing in front of green screens and shit. You know, Jar Jar is just a guy in a suit with balls stapled on it. Like, you know, that's the show your game, man.
Yeah.
Make it something people want to see, get excited for. It was total garbage. But yeah, I ended up talking a lot about video games in the last couple of weeks, primarily because that was all I was paying attention to
Well, yeah, I
at the
mean
time.
E3, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what about you, Nathan?
Basically, I've just been kind of going through Mark III. I've been reading through all the scorecards to see how things have changed. A lot of things that I'm very, very happy with. I feel like a lot of the issues that my faction had have been addressed. I mean, don't go online because apparently Scorn players online are the saltiest, teariest fucking group of gamers in the
Well,
world because.
there's always one group on any
Yeah.
release. There's always
Oh.
one group who feels like that they've gotten the Tyranid treatment.
Yes. Well, what's funny about Scorn is to be competitive in Mark II, there was basically just two lists. And I mean, like, out of all of the casters and all of the options,
Right.
there were two lists that broke the rules hard enough that they were super popular. Clearly, the game devs slammed that door shut. They were just like, no, listen, this was breaking the game. It's not fun. Therefore, we've hammered it down. So everyone that's online who is only playing those two lists is just fucking bitching nonstop. Meanwhile, I'm looking at him like, but you do realize that this caster used to not be able to support the thing that he was designed to do, and now he does. Like, they've fixed so many problems here, guys. Like, why don't you actually shut up and play a couple games and try to figure it out? But that's kind of been it for me. I was going to try to get some painting in once my hell client moved off and we were finished that project. But it just didn't happen this week. I blame like three roller derby games because no rest for me, I guess. Ever.
Fair enough. That's still a hobby, technically.
It is.
All
I
right.
mean, I have ref 14 games this month. No, that was before this weekend. 17 games this month. We're only on the 19th. That's not great because I only ref on weekends.
All right, so let's move on to the weekly listener poll. The question that we had for you guys is, how much are you willing to pay for one piece or a part you can only get in a larger set? 60% of you said $50 is the max you would pay if you're just looking for that one model or that one piece out of a large set. 26% of you said, if I need it, I need it. Money is not an issue. And 13% said $75. So the reasonable people among us will say $50 to $75 is what we're willing to pay.
Right.
And then there's 26% of us who are like, fuck it. If I need it, I need it. I don't care. Money is no object. I need that guy. Mm-hmm. I need that little model. That's important to me.
Yeah.
What did you look for here, Nathan?
I looked at the options and chose to abstain because straight up, even $50 is too much for me. Like for me, if there is one piece or one part that's only available in a larger set, I will try to fucking swindle and trade my way across usually $20-ish.
You'll get it through other means.
Yeah, I was going to say $20 to $30, back alley blowjobs, whatever I can, you know, dish out in order to not pay $50. But like when 50 was the lowest, I was like, no, that is, I would never pay $50 for a single model. Like there have been models where I'm like, man, I really want that. Oh, I can only buy it for 80. Fuck it.
See, I usually try to rationalize it because it really does depend on the model, where $50 is not the end of the world when we're talking like...
I mean, that is single, like one Games Workshop clam.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like single character models for certain, for some game systems can be upwards of, you know, $30, maybe $40. So sometimes it's not the end of the world. So I voted for $50. I think that would be as much as I would be willing to pay for something like that. And that's if I felt like I really, really wanted that one. And, you know, I felt like maybe I could, you know, get something else. But let's go to the comments here. Baffo said, I voted 75, assuming I really couldn't find a use for the leftovers from the kit. But since I'm mainly a heavy converter, it rarely ever happens that I can't eventually figure out some way to use random models or parts in conversions. Looking at the Silver Tower box, I have ideas to scavenge half of the models to be converted for some other game system, but they don't quite excite me enough to drop that much money for just those models.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fair. Even though there may be just be one thing in that box that you want, a lot of times you either will sell off the rest of the box, which a lot of people tend to do, like with starter kits, where they'll be like, I'm selling just the Tyranid side of this box or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Rocket Yeti says, this is like buying a hooker and her kids a nice dinner on top of the tip on the and leaving a tip on the nightstand. I said $50 because I couldn't vote zero. I have yet to find a model so incredible that I will buy other models along with it that I have no plans for using. Between buying the individual model on eBay from a chop shop or converting my own, there are enough ways to get what I want without having to buy extra. So apparently I should have put zero on there. That should have been an option. All right, good to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think zero is a bit low even for me. But for me, I'm just like, you know what? If I can get it for like $20, we're good. You know, yeah. 30 if I have to.
Well, like if I go online and I see that one model and the only people selling it are selling it for $30, I might go, you know what? Fuck it. I'll pay the extra $20 to get the extra, five, six, seven models that come in that box.
Mm-hmm.
The Jersey General said zero. If I want a single piece, I'll go on eBay or something. I wouldn't buy an expensive kit just for one piece. Our hobby is already insanely expensive. Why make it worse? Why make it worse is the question that applies to everything in this hobby.
Oh my God.
Anytime you buy anything. Alex Troy said I voted $50 and would probably not even go that high. I don't really subscribe to the highway robbery of paying lots of money to get one bit that isn't nearly worth the money paid, like purchasing a whole X-Wing ship to get a piece of paper. If I don't have any use of the ship itself, I would feel too robbed to enjoy it.
But Fantasy Flight has built their entire business model on you doing that.
That goes to what Maddie said last episode, where he's like, yeah, I bought one ship because I just needed that card.
Oh my God. Again, I know a lot of people. Yep. Like anyone that is serious enough into X-Wing to actually attend a store event is that person. They are absolutely that person.
Yeah, anyone on the competitive scene, that's like the only way to do it, unfortunately, because those cards are at a premium. And the way that it's been set up for Fantasy Flight is that you have to have all of the physical cards, right? Like you can't have copies of the cards. If you own one, but you want to put it on four ships, you better go buy three more of that ship so that you can put it on the rest of your ships, because they will not allow you to like proxy a card or just have one that says, here's the rules. You need to physically own the card every single time, like for every time you use
But
it.
and that's what I'm saying, where I'm just like,
It's fucking crazy.
literally, Fantasy Flight has built the business model around X-Wing of, I think gamers are stupid enough to buy six of one thing just for a card.
Well, and here's the thing, right? Like, it's not even just the gamers, but like anyone who's organizing an OP or anybody who's doing like an event in a store or something like that. From what I understand, in some places they're not super crazy about it. If you're missing a card or two, they'll usually let you go. If you have already a copy of that card, you can just be like, yeah, this is on both of these guys. But for any sort of like tournament or competitive play, oh yeah, they expect you to have every single fucking card. Like, you got to have those binders and binders of cards and all of these extra ships you're never going to fucking do anything with. It's a pure joy.
Right.
Thanks to everyone who voted on the weekly listener poll. You can find those at jadedgamercast.com. We'll have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember. So let's move on to the model of the week. And boy, howdy, it's a model.
You know, I do think that that is the nicest thing that we can say when describing it, because you are correct. It is a model.
Games Workshop has released the Munitorum armored containers as a piece of scenery. There are upgrades. And don't get me wrong, as I said when you and I were talking about it before the show, it's actually not bad scenery. And the price is not insane. It's not
Well,
crazy.
I don't know, man. $60 for three containers and some bits seems crazy to me.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still like I would still not buy it. I would look at something like that and go, yeah, but I can like do up some Pringles cans. All right, done. Like there's,
Right.
if you want armored containers that you want to slap some storm bolters on, we all have that abundance of storm bolter, parts that we can use.
Yes.
What I get a kick out of is like, there's like a top hatch for the storm bolters, but when you look on the inside, like there's nothing for for anyone in there to stand on. So like,
Oh my God, you're
just
right.
feet dangling from like a harness that you're sitting in, I assume, as you're firing from these things. And to what you said earlier, like, why do they have storm bolters? And I said, fucking everything has storm bolters on it in the 41st millennia. You can buy a toilet with a storm bolter attached. I mean, it's an upgrade. You got to pay
Right.
extra for it. But I mean, when you're taking
It's
a
like
shit,
power windows.
right, exactly. When you're taking a shit, you got to be ready. I mean, there's in the grim darkness of the future, there is only war, even when you're shitting. And I
True
just,
story.
I like the idea of like one of the ammo boxes is bolter rounds and the other ammo box is just toilet paper, like wet wipes for like those monster shits, which also makes me look at the Munitorium armored containers and just think that they're just giant Space Marine toilets. Because they look a little nasty on the inside. It looks like.
They really do look nasty on the inside. No, like I said, it doesn't look bad, but it's just so fucking silly. Because even when we look at the whole storm bolter on the roofs of things, they're stackable. So does every time you're gonna stack the crates, because even in that main image, you've got the one that's solo with the storm bolters, and then they've got the stack of two with the storm bolters on top. No ladders, by the way. So there really is no way to man these storm bolters. Like, there's no way to climb up from inside the armored container. You can't get to the top of a container because there's no ladder. Like, it's just a ridiculous design flaw. I
I
mean,
want
like,
to.
how many people have ever worked at like a fucking container yard and just been like, hey, everybody, before we stack these containers, let's go take the storm bolters off.
I want somebody to take like a Space Marine from like a bike and just put him like sitting in front of the storm bolter with like his legs dangling over the side. Like it's a like a piece of playground equipment.
It is literally the only thing that would make sense.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're not terrible pieces of scenery, but it's a very, very strange release. Where at what point in the pitch meeting was somebody saying like, all right, we've made fucking Skull hot tubs. We've made literally everything we can think of. We don't just want to make more of what people might actually want, like trenches and, things of that nature, things that they could make themselves. So what do we make? And somebody in that meeting said, armored containers.
Shipping containers. Let's fucking do it.
And they were like, shut the fuck up, Gary. And he's like, wait. They'll have Stormbolter attachments. All right, Gary's usually off, but every once in a while, Gary has a good idea. He's a little crazy. That's why we keep him around.
In the 41st millennium, there are only shipping manifests.
That's right,
like,
man.
Fuck, man. Like,
it's a good time, bad. Dude. It's a good time.
It is so bad.
If I ever saw these on a table, I would just be giggling insanely. Like throughout the game, I'd just be like, hey, mm-hmm. What are you shipping?
Yeah, I can't say that I would do any different because, again, they're not terrible. They're just so fucking silly and unnecessary.
Oh.
I mean, you know, at least when Games Workshop, like, you know, when they first released the buildings and we had to paint them because we were still employed by the company at the time, and man, did I phone in my skull building. I was just like, I'm already quitting. My last day's in a month. I'm going to make sure I never paint anything other than this building. But at least those buildings, you can look at them and you can say, you know what? This does look like Warhammer 40,000. I can put this on my board, and it's going to look really cool, and it's going to look interesting, and it's not going to look the same as something I could make. And with shipping containers, sure, these are also hitting the, you can't make shipping containers this nice. But then I have to ask, do I need shipping containers this nice? Like,
right. Really? Like Kanye's white t-shirts. Now
that is exactly what it is.
Everybody likes a white t-shirt. Nothing wrong with a white t-shirt. Do I want to pay $115 for that white t-shirt? Maybe not. Here's the thing. Here's a very interesting idea I just had. So one of the pictures that you can see is the Ultramarine shipping container. So the Ultramarines have gone and branded it. It's painted in their colors. And we still don't see anybody manning the Stormbolters, which makes me wonder. What sad, poor, fucked the Admiral's daughter machine spirit got relegated into the shipping container? Because there's like a little skull thing on the side. I'm just like, there's some really dejected fucking machine spirit in there right now.
Here it is. This is the weekly listener poll. And I also need to know what you're going to say, Lang. What is sadder? The shipping container machine spirit or the bound demon in the shin pad?
The shin pad or the saddle?
Right.
The demon saddle? Oh, God. Saddle.
So what is saddest?
Because I feel like it has to be the shipping container.
Really?
Because the demon saddle, like, yeah, that's a shitty place. But you can see the end. Right. Like you know, like eventually I'm going to die in battle. This hell will be over. But like, the shipping container is like you're at the bottom of like a 50 deep stack of containers going like, somebody please kill me. All I know is darkness.
You know, I never thought that because, yeah, you know, on the one hand, the shipping container machine spirit is eternal. And it's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, it would never end. But on the other hand, you don't have some dude's balls, like, just fucking sweating and swassing up all over you all day. So,
all
I mean,
you can look is at the tail of the demon. That's where your face is. Right. Don't get me wrong, dude. Don't get me wrong. But, like, even the shin pad will eventually block a bolt around, and you'll be like, I did it. My purpose was served.
But I'm free. But who shoots a saddle? I mean, like, really... At best, you're the dude whose balls have been swassing you up and polishing your back with ball sweat will die, and then someone else will just be like, that's a cool saddle, and then you just got more balls on you.
Oh, God. I don't want either. I don't want either. This turned into the best segment of the show. All right. Oh, Jesus.
That's surprising for Mutatorum armored containers.
Oh, my God, dude. Genius. Pure genius. I now start to wonder if, like, there's a little bit of machine spirit in, like, each machine spirit in, like, each, like, Prometheum can. I don't know, man. It's a good time. All right. Yeah, so
the machine sperm is in the Prometheum cans.
That's how it burns forever. It's the only way, man. It's the only way.
Well,
I guess let's move on to the main topic of today's show. Speaking of things that stagnate and tend to go backwards, the White Dwarf. Now, we've all read The White Dwarf at some point or another. At least I assume we've all read The White Dwarf at some point or another. When we first started getting into the game, The White Dwarf was, it was the outlet, right? Like, it was, I don't have the money to buy everything, but this $10 or $15, whatever you paid for it, magazine, you know, it had battle reports. It had all the things that were just so new and swirling in your head and all these painting guides and all this stuff, you know. And so there was hype behind it, you know, like, and it. I would say on average, from what I experienced while working for that shithole of a company, the most people picked it up for about a year, right? And if you didn't work for the company and get a free one, that was about it. After that, the only time you ever picked it up is if there was like pre-release rules or special rules or something, you couldn't get anywhere.
Oh yeah, specifically something. Because I mean, like, here's the thing. I knew of the White Dwarf, and I think before I started working for the company, I only ever picked up the two for Tyranid Gargantuan Creature Rules, and then I picked up the two about the story, the Eye of Terror campaign.
Yeah, and what was it? The test.
Oh, the Trial Assault Rules.
Yeah.
But like that's kind of it. Where, you know, but that's. That was okay, because at least there was always stuff, because at least, remember they used to release chapter approved,
yeah.
Which for those of you that have never heard the term, chapter approved was basically an annual compilation where they took all of the rules from that year's White Dwarfs, because they were official rules, and then they just bound them together. So that was where you got like the Kroot Mercs all tossed in and this one, and you got, all tank company Imperial Guard and things of that nature. But like I said, that was always kind of how you did it. Like, it was just one of those things where you're just like, okay,
I clearly need this.
Yeah. If something's interesting to me, I will pick it up. And yeah, most people would usually get like a year of subscription and then they'd just be like, I read two issues this year.
Yeah, pretty much. I remember at some point, We had all gotten to a place where we wouldn't read it. Like, because when you were working with the company, you had to read it. Like, it was kind of like they didn't test you on it. Like, there was no like, what happens on page six?
No, you don't understand. When I was working for the company the second time in Chinook, they actually did develop the White Dwarf test where they did quiz you on what was in the White Dwarf because none of the employees would ever read it. But thankfully, Darren is terrible at saving files, so I just always memorized the answer key, which was easily available, and he saved it in the same place. So I still managed to not read it.
Oh, God. Like, okay, so Games Workshop decided that the White Dwarf format wasn't working. They were going to switch it to a smaller, more pamphlet-esque type monthly magazine that was, they kind of cut out a lot of the garbage. I mean, they still had a lot of garbage in there, but it was, they figured, okay, this is just more of what people want it for, and if we make it cheaper, we'll sell more, which clearly didn't happen.
Are you sure? Is that foreshadowing? Fuck you, Games Workshop. No, but I mean, like, here's the thing. Weekly White Dwarf was, like you said, it was literally just an excuse to try to turn your $10 a month into $30 a month.
Right.
Because when they moved to Weekly White Dwarf, they cut the price in half. And then they released Warhammer Visions, which was literally, I think it was designed to be Playboy for their models, because it was nothing but just like the dioramas that are in every White Dwarf and codexes and things of that nature. And it just, it was always a perplexing magazine to me where I'm just like, why would anybody want this? Like, why? I have an internet connection. I really don't see how this is useful even a little bit.
Well, and we'll kind of talk about that in a bit in terms of just the whole print is dead argument. But here's the quote from their website. From September, the White Dwarf will be back as a glossy 156-page A4 magazine with all the news, features, and pictorials you know and love.
And well, we know them.
Yeah, we know them. And a whole chunk of new stuff you never imagined. News, Golden Demon, Battle Reports, Painting Masterclass, Designer's Notes, exclusive games and rule sets. So I'm not going to say that I've never imagined those.
How have I never imagined the things they used
They've
to do
been doing
they
for years
into a weekly rag? I mean, that's an interesting choice of phrase, I'll admit. I've never imagined you doing the things that you have done in the past. But isn't that literally Games Workshop's, like, fucking 2016-year slogan? Games Workshop, doing what used to work for us and hoping it will again. Like, that's literally every business decision they have fucking made this year. So I guess the only thing that I find surprising about this return to Monthly White Dwarf is that we never internet soothsayed it before, because...
Why would you point that out?
Right? It's just... It seems so obvious in hindsight, where you're like, of course Games Workshop would go back to what they did 5 years ago when they made money.
Well, we didn't, like, you wake up from that fever dream and you don't share that information, right? Like, nobody's waking up going like, the White Dwarf is coming back. I need to tell everybody. Like, that's the one where you're like, oh my God, that nightmare. Can't believe it. Like, where would that come from? So I'm going to finish reading the thing here. The first issue is out on Friday, 2nd to September, which is a weird way of saying the date, and comes with our most amazing cover mount ever. A special gift to you to celebrate the glorious return of Monthly White Dwarf. What's a cover mount?
I don't know. Maybe they mean, like, cover page, but it's just a British way of saying it, which is another way of saying an incorrect way of saying it.
Right, like a lift.
Right?
Yeah. Or pants.
Pants.
So anyway.
I don't understand how pants is wrong. Like, what have I been doing incorrect is more where I'm going with pants.
Oh, no. Pants, if you say pants,
oh,
it's underwear.
Is pants.
No. Like, if somebody says you're standing there in your pants, that means just your underwear.
Oh, British people, you're so wacky.
It's just, yeah, if you're in just your pants... not to be confused with trousers, it is just your underwear. But okay. Yeah, like, I don't understand. And again, here's where I get into the whole print is dead thing. We're going backwards. Like, why isn't this a digital thing? Like, why isn't this a subscription service done digitally? Why isn't this available through every fucking e-reader on the planet?
Because Apple takes 50%, and if anyone is going to be a money-grubbing asshole, it's us at Games Workshop.
Sure, but still, like...
They're... Oh, no, listen, you're 100% correct. I mean, print media is dying the slowest, most fucking painful death that we've all been witnessing. I mean... there's no surprise that there's not a lot of money to be had in print, especially when you look at the overhead. When you look at something like White Dwarf Magazine, they are forecasting the number of issues that they are going to sell, mm-hmm. and they're trying to push them. And what happens when you don't sell them? Because I remember, again, working for the company, when you don't sell them, then when you have auctions, which will be the next thing to return, I assure you.
Guaranteed.
when you have an auction... You're selling the back issues for $1 each just to get them out of your store.
Just to get some return.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's never something where you're going to look at it and say, you know, this is a winning business model, at least when you move your print into digital and a digitally exclusive, which, again, is surprising they're not moving since they're moving their codexes and their rules to digital. Even Forge World just announced that they have a new 30K army list for basically guardsmen. And that, for the first time, is coming out in digital format mm-hmm. from Black Library. So we're just like, you're moving all of your rules here. Why the fuck would you not just partner with Apple, pay them their 50%? It's costing you nothing. at this point
Well,
because it's all the shit you're going to be doing anyway. You have no
yeah.
new costs, but you're able to cut all of your printing costs and your shipping costs and your storage and all of the overhead throughout your entire supply chain
Right.
is gone overnight. So even if Apple does take 50%, but then you explode your subscriber base, you're still up. Like it's so fucking perplexing.
It's a very, very weird choice because digital has this wealth of like perks. Like any company has gone digital. Like no, nobody wants to make a paper rule book anymore. Nobody wants to make paper army books anymore. If they do make them, they make them for the odd few people who still just like holding it in their hand. You know, like it's that weird business choice where they've, yeah, like you said, it's the whole driving force behind the company, which is we're just going to take anything that succeeded in the past, whether it was succeeding when we got rid of it or not, and we're going to bring it back because, oh my God, please, please buy it. Please, somebody, please buy this. Yeah, nobody's going to buy this. No, anybody who stopped reading it or anybody who was picking up the weekly, you know, like, I don't know. Like, it's very confusing for me because I'm trying to put together why this is better or why this is what we needed now, or why,
Well,
you
but
know,
see,
40K gamers, this is what they needed now.
again, it's not even better, and I don't even think that they're trying to claim it's better. To me, it's just, I feel like relaunching the format of White Dwarf is to White Dwarf what a new edition of 40K is to 40K. It's something that Games Workshop is going to do entirely too often in an attempt to make something that no one cares about noteworthy. You know, because I remember talking with Kyle with Weekly fucking White Dwarf. It was one of those things where he's just like, oh yeah, he saw that spike of sales where everyone's just like, let me try this Weekly White Dwarf. I haven't bought a White Dwarf in a year. And then it falls right down again because people realize, oh, this is nothing but a pamphlet now.
So it's the
This is a.
death, it's the death of Superman.
Right? That's really what it is. But like I said, it's one of those things. So it's just like, okay, so we can clearly say that sales of Weekly White Dwarf have plummeted back down to probably where it was when they decided to go weekly. Or they're just looking at it and saying, why are we paying this fucking supply chain cost four times, like every single week, 52 times a year instead of 12 times a year? Because you know it's more expensive to run a weekly magazine. So they're generating more overhead. So regardless of the driving factor, I feel like them making a big deal about it is just trying to get people to care again. So when they're like, oh yeah, I read a few weekly White Dwarfs, let's see if the monthly's any better. Like it just, I can't see this being something that's going to last. Like I just can't.
They'll make it last, though,
Oh,
Nathan.
listen,
That's.
Games Workshop is absolutely committed to bad ideas. So
They will. They will. Exactly.
White Dwarf magazine will be the literal last printed magazine. When every other print magazine has gone digital, they will stick it out for 2 more years, then make a big deal about how they are leading the industry by moving to digital. Because that's just Games Workshop. You are so far behind the times, it hurts me to watch you, especially when you're so full of yourself, to talk about how you're industry leaders doing things your competitors did years ago. It just, at first, it's like a dumb dog. The first time you see a dumb dog like run into a wall because he doesn't know where the bone was, you're just like, oh my God, that's adorable. But
That
when they
dog's
do
so
it,
dumb.
that dog's so dumb. But when they've done it 15 times, you're just like, no, seriously, is the dog okay? Like, I am getting concerned for the dog's well-being. And that's where Games Workshop is now. It's like we're all just kind of concerned.
Are we?
I mean, no, I could give a fuck,
I'm
but
still laughing at how dumb the dog is.
it is a very dumb dog.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would love to see to be proven wrong in a situation like this. To have people come back and just be like, "Oh, it's amazing. It's everything you ever wanted it to be." They've learned all from all of their mistakes, and every issue is just the best issue. The battle reports aren't fixed. The writing isn't bullshit. It's not just a giant catalog. because that was one of the big complaints with the White Dwarf before it went bye-bye, was that half of it was just the catalog for the stuff coming out next week.
Well, but I mean, like, it wasn't even half of it. All of it was. Everything was so carefully doctored, even the fucking battle reports. Like,
well, that's what I mean, yeah.
I remember when dwarves were the new kid on the block, and it was the Dwarves versus Ogre Kingdoms battle report, and they straight up said, they were like, ha-ha, this is our third game, because in the first two games, the Ogre player won, but I think I've got him now. And then, surprise, surprise, over the entire battle report, all 20 pages of it with pictures of all the new dwarf minis, because that's all his army was, he fucking smashes the Ogre Kingdoms for a win. And he's just like, oh, the dwarves are so mighty. But if you didn't read that first paragraph where they literally said, we had to play three times before we finally got the dwarves to win, so this is the one we're publishing.
Oh, and I guarantee you those editors and that writer got...
they probably got in serious fucking trouble.
Down to their pants, because that didn't happen again. Because no, I remember when we were in the shop when that had come around... it was this big thing, like, oh my god, they fucking admitted it. Like, they actually said, like, oh yeah, no, they're not good. We've lost. It's not working. But yeah, I mean, what else is there to say about White Dwarf? I'd be interested to hear from anybody who actually picks it up and reads it and goes into it. Some of the comments here on the Jaded Gamercast page is like, I think the last decent White Dwarves were about the time when Fantasy Civil War rules were released over 3 months. Still nothing compared to my mid to late 90s issues. Still got them in a box because they take me way back. Is it just nostalgia? Is that all we... Because I know people who still have the stacks of White Dwarves stocked away, you know, appreciating in value.
Well, that's what they tell themselves. I assure you. Your White Dwarf collection is as worthless today as it was the day after you bought it.
Gotta get your hands on that issue 1 to 100, man. Damn.
Woo.
I mean, fuck, I can't. I don't even have anything else to say about fucking White Dwarf. Oh, Jesus. Hey, Sisters might be coming back.
Oh, my God. Is this that rumor we've been hearing for the last 7 years straight?
Because I remember Jess Goodwin did the models. And they have veils.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, fuck, we've been hearing about Sisters coming back forever. Like, I remember when they released those shitty rules in the White Dwarf, speaking of. The ones that Robin Crudace and Matt Ward just dismantled when they were like, you know what, what's, you know, the problem with Faith? It was actually a good rule. So let's just eliminate that out of the army. But like I said, that was fucking 09. And I remember the big rumors there was, hey, listen, with the new Grey Knights taking all the Inquisition, this is your stopgap. This is just a temporary stopgap. Right. Jess Goodwin sculpts, man. Fuck, you saw what he just did with Dark Eldar, right, man? You know Jess Goodwin's good for it.
They're coming. They're
fucking coming. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, man.
Like, come on. Like, those models, those fucking pewter ones are pushing 20 years old right now. Like, I remember, because that was a late second edition range. I think they came out in 97. Like, come the fuck on. Like... shit or get off the pot, Games Workshop. Like, either write them out of everything but the fluff and just announce, like, no, Sisters are dead.
Yeah, give
we
them a squad
clearly
treatment.
Don't care. Yeah, either fucking squat them or release them. Because this is just sad.
Well, it...
Again, is the dog okay? I mean, it just keeps hitting its head in the wall.
Oh, he's back on his feet. He's fine. Look, he's sniffing that other dog's butt. It's great. I mean... I can't even get excited about something like Sisters of Battle. I mean, you love Sisters of Battle, and I enjoyed Sisters of Battle, and we always said, oh, it would be great to have that in there. Mm-hmm. And that goes into our whole conversation about, you know, women in 40K, and that turns into a big fucking man muscle fest conversation about women can't wear space marine armor and so on and so forth. So, I mean, fuck, I just don't care. Like, that is the dumbest rumor. It's to the point now where if somebody goes like, hey, Star Citizen's coming out, man, I promise.
I will not believe them.
You should go log into the beta, man. They've done some stuff. Ah, fuck you. I don't care. Go away. Don't talk to me again. Citizen.
Jason has put hundreds of dollars into buying chips that he will never get a chance to play. He knows,
I mean, right? He can absolutely go play some of them now in the beta and fly them around. I don't know. It's funny that that is the rumor that gets leaked now, like now in the state the game is in right now.
Especially because since that Sisters rumor first dropped, first of all, we've had two new game editions.
Yep.
Actually three, because I think, no, we weren't in fourth. We were in fifth when those rules came out. So we've had two new game editions. Games Workshop started on their policy of supplemental codexes. Mm-hmm. Games Workshop killed their policy of supplemental codexes. You know, we've gotten Harlequins as a net new release. We've gotten Gene Stealer Cults as a net new release. Two different Adeptus Mechanicus books, which should have been one, but still. Every codex in the game has been updated, some more than once. And hey, guys, Sisters are right around the corner, man. Jess Goodwin Sculpts. Like, come on. Like, at least come up with some new material at this point. I mean, fuck, Death Watch have models after that with the that stupid Death Watch Gene Stealer Cult game.
Yep.
So you're just like, everything has come out.
It would be like if I went to a comedy show and the guy got on stage and he's just like, what is the deal with airplane food? You know, like, I'd be like, holy shit, what year is it? You know, like, it's a very strange thing to come out. And I mean, before the show starts, like, we're Sharts, I think, actually works too. Before the show started, we were, you know, scouring through all of, like, the rumors and the news and the new releases and stuff like that. But, like, those don't really exist anymore. And it's funny because all we have are these weird releases, you know, like this following up after, like, the relaunch of their Facebook page. And has anything new and good come out of that yet? I haven't seen anything. No one's shared anything.
Yeah.
Nothing special's come from it. I think I took a peek at it a couple of weeks ago, and it was literally just posts of, hey, guys, this new model's coming out. Check out this guy. That's it. Out of, like, nothing. There's nothing there. I don't get it. So, there you have it. Hey, Nathan.
Yes.
It's time for a stupidity check.
Ooh.
And I actually have two.
Oh, wow. We are kicking it old school.
There's one I've been saving for when you were back.
Okay.
But we'll start out with, for anybody who doesn't know, anytime we used to reference a gentleman named John Kingsway, it was a man named Jason Stevens who worked at the Kingsway Garden Mall location of Games Workshop. He was there when you and I worked there. He's been there ever since. Dude's put probably at least 20 years into the company. And he was recently fired, and he was fired for some bullshit because one of the most profitable stores in North America was apparently not profitable enough. And they fucking let him, they fucking cut him loose. Can't keep paying a guy good money. You gotta get some new manager in there. They have to keep cycling managers through their company and keep them at the lowest pay that they can possibly pay.
Well, that's what I was gonna say though. Is I'm like, you know, with Jason's years of experience, it made him both exceptionally good at his job, but it also made him probably earn twice as much as his replacement.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And I'm praying to God his replacement isn't Doug, because that guy, fuck him. But, and I mean, I'm not even going to say, like, I'll never fucking shop at that store again, because I haven't shopped there in years.
Right?
I don't buy anything from Games Workshop anymore. But it was a kick in the pants. They did it in a fucking scummy way. They're a fucking company full of fucking scumbags, as far as I'm concerned. But I would like to salute him and the work that he did. Good luck to him in the future. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he opens his own gaming store. Fingers crossed.
That would be excellent.
It's always on the horizon there. But he's just taking a big old vacation because, you know, that's fuck what him. You do after you get out of hell. You know, you get back from the front lines and you're like, shit, I'm not working for a while. I'm going to drink and call it PTSD. Let's make it happen.
Right.
That's insensitive to actual people who deal with that. But hey, no.
When have we ever been worried about being insensitive? Chest full of dog dicks. Dog
dicks indeed.
We called one of our listeners a pedophile. Like, this is just us. So if you do have PTSD, duck, I don't know, like, what else? What else are we gonna do? Like,
But if you know Jason on Facebook, if you see him around, show him some love. We appreciate what he did. He was the best manager that company ever had. So,
hands down.
Hands down, 100%. We worked with a lot of managers. He's the best manager that company ever had. Fuck Games Workshop. So the next stupidity check has to do with Spartan Games.
I suspected this one.
Yeah. So I had purchased Dreadnought for the Aquans and opened up the box. And as happens often enough when you buy miniatures, there's shit missing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was missing a small little piece that slots into the bottom of the ship that the pegs plug into. So essentially you can't mount it without that piece. So I'm like, ah, fuck, I'm going to have to email them, get them to send me a new piece. So when I do this, I know that the type of people who take these emails, sometimes they need help. And so I did everything. I took a picture of the box's contents, specifically said the exact piece that I was missing, and emailed off to the company. So it took them about a week or so to eventually email back. Actually, it was quicker than that. I think it was only about 3 days before they emailed back, and they're like, hey, we're really sorry about that. We'll send the piece out to you. And I mean, I had already put my address in there. I'd put my name. I'd put everything in there. So it took about a month and a half to get to me, which says one of two things. It says either somebody forgot about it, eventually remembered, and fucking sent it, or they sent it the lowest priority, like they sent it via mule to me in Canada. Like, I've ordered things from Spartan before. They arrive in a reasonable amount of time. This did not arrive in a reasonable amount of time. So, Nathan, what do you think I got in that box?
I've seen the pictures because you messaged them to me, but I will guarantee you did not get the piece that you were missing.
No. I got more clear bases and pegs. So, I mean, at that point, I'm already kind of pissed off because, like, I've been wanting to paint that fucking model.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that I'm actually going to paint it, fuck. But, you know, I'm going to get indignant because I'm a customer. So I email back and I'm like, hey, y'all fucked up. You did not send me the piece I was looking for. I like copied and pasted my original email and like highlighted the segment. Here's what I'm looking mm-hmm. for. Went back to the original picture, circled the location in like red lines to show here's what I'm missing, drew a bunch of arrows to it, and then just put like a fucking ton of X's through the bases. I was like, I don't need more bases. I need this piece. I email it off to them. This time it was about a week later that I got a reply. Hey, we're really sorry about that. We'll get that piece out to you. Took about another month and a half.
Oh my God. I was going to say, are you still waiting? Like, where are we at on this? I need to know.
I got it about a week ago. So it took almost 4 months to get the replacement piece that I was looking for. And the poor woman put her name in the email for some reason. I'm sorry, Lizzie, but you fucked up. And in the box, it's just the piece, nothing else. No note, no nothing. So, I mean, from a customer service standpoint, anybody who's worked in any sort of customer service environment knows usually when you fuck up like that, you kind of want to save the customer's view of your company a little bit. Maybe put a little, hey, we're really sorry about that, or hey, you know, and again, I'm not saying I want anything or I need anything. It's the absolute opposite. Most of the shit I didn't even pay for my Aquans. It was all traded or I won it in tournaments and shit.
Right.
You know, so, but again, like you would think there would be something to it. Nope. Just a very small, unassuming package eventually got to me 4 months later because I sent this off in March. And yeah, it was just like, what the fuck is this company doing?
But, like, it's funny that you say that because I actually had very similar experiences with Cool Mini or Not. Mm. So when I was putting together just a metric fuck ton of Wrath of Kings models, because I think I had two starter sets, each of the Goritzi, the Technus, and the Shale Han, out of all of that, which is about 120-ish models, probably closer to 150, there were four that were mispacked. So nothing terrible. I mean, you know, one in like 40 is not a great fucking
No, that's a pretty bad average.
It's not a great average, but the thing is like, as you know from building your Wrath of Kings, they are cut off the sprues for you and individually bagged.
Correct.
So, on the one hand, super convenient. On the other hand, very easy to lose pieces like that. When I emailed Cool Mini or Not Support the first time, I included everything and I had the pictures and I was like, these are the pieces that I'm missing, this one werewolf arm and this one werewolf head. And then before I'd gotten a message back, and it took them about 2 weeks, I had assembled more and I was like, I'm also missing this head and this arm. And eventually I got one and they're like, okay, we'll wrap your two tickets together into one. Really sorry, we'll get these off to you. What's your address? All that usual stuff. 4 months later,
Oh.
it finally shows up and there are only two pieces in the bag. And I'm like, I don't even give a shit anymore. I don't even know where the broken, like the unfinished models are
That's even
because,
worse.
like, I was just like, I'm not going to message them again. Like, it had taken so long that I had just assumed it was never going to happen.
It was lost in the ether.
Yeah, and then eventually just this one fucking padded envelope comes in. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a nice surprise. I open it, it only has half the shit I need. I'm like, I don't even care to message them anymore because this was just fucking stupid.
Good God. You know,
So,
customer service at its best. That's what we experience in the tabletop wargaming miniatures hobby.
yeah, you know, and it's just, there's no excuse for it because fundamentally, we're buying a product, we're expecting it to be whole. When it's not whole, and we understand that shit happens, okay? I understand the fucking packer dropped it or whatever, it fell out of the envelope. Shit happens. I mean, shit, when I first got my work laptop, they mailed me half a power source, as in the guy was just like, oh, I got the fucking adapter, this is good, but he didn't notice that the cord that goes to my, the
Outlet.
fucking outlet to that adapter had fallen off. So I was like, I can't turn my computer on, guys. Like, I can't plug it in. Like,
Pure joy.
this is a fucking problem. So again, shit happens, but it's how you deal with this shit. We talk about how there's so many different games, there's so many different options out there. If you're making it hard for me to like your games, if you're making the experience of owning your models challenging, I'm going to move on to your competitors. I mean, Games Workshop is seeing that kind of attrition now because they've just made it so difficult to be a fan of their games and to keep up with it and all of those things. So it's just like you're seeing players jump ship. And just like I'm sure with Mark III, you're going to see new players jump in and the old salty fucks that can't get over the fact that their one-trick pony doesn't work anymore. And they're going to go move off and play something else. This is the natural attrition that every business is going to experience, especially when you deal with a hobby product. So why are you giving me excuses? Why are you giving me reasons to not like your company?
Well, and it's interesting because you typically don't see that sort of bad, shitty, no thought put into it customer service from a lot of other things. Video games, electronics, furniture, for fuck's sakes. I mean, virtually any company will just, oh yeah, what do you need? Okay, here it is. And they'll get it out to you as quickly as possible. They'll throw a, hey, we're really sorry about it in there. I remember way back, I had purchased some stuff from a company online. Bits were missing. I fired off an email to them. Hey, we're really sorry about that. We'll get that taken care of for you. And it showed up. Everything that I needed was in there. No cost at all was needed for this. And they had like two or three boxes of candy in there. And again, there wasn't like a note saying like, hey, we're really fucking sorry. You're probably a fat gamer. Enjoy some candy, bitch. But I was
I'm
like,
just trying to get your diabetes so that you die and leave us the fuck alone.
but even if they had, I'd have been like, oh shit, Mike and Ikes, y'all. Like, it wouldn't matter. Like, I would have been cool with it. I'd have been like, yo, that's a dig, but hey, whatever. Like if you order a lot of pizzas and eventually they just stop cutting, like slicing it for you, because they're like, listen, good chances you're eating this all in one sitting, you fat fuck. We're just gonna save you the effort, roll it up. It's fucking, this Mexican burrito tastes like Italy. All I'm trying to say is that, yeah, you don't tend to see this in other places, but oh my God, do we ever fucking see it with miniatures companies? And keep in mind that this is the same company. This isn't the first time I've had a bad experience with them. You remember way back when we first got into Firestorm Armada, they sent us the wrong rule books.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. They just had a warehouse full of Uncharted Seas. Please play it.
Those were the guys who were like, hey, just ship us the old ones back and then we'll send them to you. And I was like, fuck you. Send me my goddamn rule book and then maybe I'll think about sending it back to you. Oh, I don't know about that. Listen, dude, I'm not paying for postage. Oh, we'll reimburse you. Fuck you. Send me my product. Then maybe I'll think about it. Like it's just you should never have to have that sort of experience with a company. And for some reason with fucking miniatures companies, that's the way that it goes. It does make you long for the days of the brick and mortar store where I could just go walk in and be like, hey, this is fucking missing. Give me an open another box, give me the pieces, you know? Known loss. How many of our armies were made up of known loss?
I mean, your entire Ogre Kingdoms was pre-releases and known
Pre-release
loss.
and known loss. That's how I built that shit.
My entire Lord of the Rings compliance army was known loss. I just went into the back room and pieced out the 500 points or whatever the fuck it was. And I was like, there, I can do this. Well, you're not
Uruk-hai.
going to buy
Yeah,
anything? Fuck no, I'm not going to buy anything.
pretty much. Ah, good times, man. Good times. There you have it. So we'll go back to it again. The weekly listener poll question, which is worse, being a machine spirit relegated to a shipping container or being a demon imbued into a saddle or a shin pad? Let's go with saddle because I think saddle is by far the worst.
Oh yeah, I
Way worse
mean
than the shin pad.
agreed. The saddle, I mean fucking ball sweat polishing up your back, your fucking back the whole time.
So, something shiny, Nathan. Did you watch anything from E3?
I only saw the Mass Effect Andromeda bit, which has me just frothing at the bit. Like I am so amped that I've already put in like 15 hours into Mass Effect 2
Yeah, I saw those
this go.
posts that you're burning, you burned your way through Mass Effect 1 and are on your way through Mass Effect 2 now.
Yeah, absolutely 100%. I want to kind of go through all of them, prime that pump. Terry and I had a good long discussion about what we think Mass Effect Andromeda's premise could possibly be. We're just kind of speculating, so
Oh, interesting. So, what do you what's your guess?
Terry's most interesting guess is that humans, because like we see them wake up from cryosleep at the very end, we see that one
You see
girl,
the girl, yeah.
the girl wake up. Terry's one guess is possibly a, because we didn't see alliance markings on the ship, a Cerberus last ditch, like fucking panic button, like the Reapers have invaded, send the colonists just to protect humanity kind of deal. Which I thought would be very interesting and would have a lot of legs to it to kind of explore. My big thing that I thought was interesting was when you got that one fraction of a second flip where the kind of panning over tight to the ship and you get that one expanded view with that gigantic fucking space station in the background. To me, that looked a lot like a proto Citadel. Like the shape is right, but it's so much rougher, you know? You know how the Citadel is so perfect and smooth and beautiful and polished. To me, I was just like, could that, like, if that is a proto Citadel, then what we're looking at is the Reapers actually originated from Andromeda. And holy shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, could they be harvesting more than just our galaxy of life? Because they clearly have Mass Effect relay technology to travel out of a galaxy into dark space. What's to say that this is what they're sending, limited to? So, that was kind of the stuff that we were talking about. All I know is, like I said, I'm just fucking amped. I finished Mass Effect 1, which, despite being a 9-year-old game, has fucking held up like you would not believe. Mass Effect 2 is just as good as I remember it being. So,
Oh, yeah.
again, it's really holding up. So, eventually I'll get through it because I'm taking my sweet ass time getting everybody's loyalty. Playing FemShep for the first time, but did not realize you could bang Garrus, so now I kind of have to out of morbid curiosity.
Oh no,
So,
Garrus is the lady go-to apparently.
oh yeah, because see, I was flirting with Jacob all the time because he was the obvious one. I mean, who does not like a little BBC? Am I right? So I was going there, and then I was like, wait, am I getting the options to flirt with Garrus? Because I know Terry banged Thane when she played
Well,
through.
yeah.
So I wasn't a huge fan of going that route, but that's why I was just like, holy shit, man, I got Garrus. Let's do th I'm a fucking do this now. Cause in Mass Effect 3 I banged Tali, so I'm just trying to collect the aliens now.
Clearly. So my theory on it is very similar to yours. I think everyone's kind of getting the same idea out of what we're seeing. A new galaxy, Andromeda, all that kind of stuff. My guess is that it will pick up from kind of where Mass Effect 3 ended. So, spoilers, at the end of Mass Effect 3, a lot of shit happens. One of the things that happens is while the Normandy is essentially fleeing the Citadel as it's, about to boomity boom boom, there's that sequence where the Normandy ends up crashing on an alien world. And the survivors kind of come walking out of the Normandy and they're all kind of looking up at the sky. And you don't really, like, it's not their sky, right? Like, it's not Earth. They're nowhere near Earth. And whatever you end up doing, it ends up destroying the Mass Effect relays, or the Mass Effect relays end up overloading.
Yeah, li
So,
literally every outcome is that, because when I
yes.
couldn't decide, I eventually did and then watched the rest on YouTube. I
Correct. That's
needed to know.
how most people did it. So, my guess is that when they were like, fucking draw the fleet back, like withdraw, get the fuck out, get the fuck out. The ships that were fast enough were able to get to the relays and attempted to jump through the relays to get out of the system. And in jumping through the relays when they were overloading, were fired way the fuck away, or similar to like Stargate Universe, two relays in another galaxy. And so this, the Tempest, which is the ship that we see go flying by, which I believe is a Federation or Alliance, whatever the fuck they were
Oh,
called,
okay. Is it
ship.
Alliance?
Yeah, it is. I believe it is an Alliance ship. It's the Tempest. And when everyone's waking up, I don't know if they're necessarily waking up out of cryo freeze or if they're just waking up because the relay was like a long jump or who knows what, right? But like, I do think that they were propelled outside of our galaxy to another one. And then we are basically on the ship because, like, we see aliens that we know, right? And, we
Do
don't really
we?
see, well, we see the Asari girl.
No, but see, that wasn't an Asari because it was a male and there are no male Asari.
Was it a male?
Yeah, I believe it was, because that was the one where they started with the they're kind of molding the face and then it showed up to it. It's definitely a sapient race, to quote the terminology that the universe uses. But it didn't look like it was Asari. To me, anyway. I mean, hey, this calls for a watching.
I'm bringing it up right now. It absolutely is an Asari. Like the head, itself is very much like an Asari head. Now, we don't like see the side of it or anything, so it's kind of hard to tell. I'm just assuming that one of the crew on that ship is an Asari.
Oh yeah, I guess it could be. It just looks male to me, 'cause yeah, you can
How
see on both sides.
rad would it be if in this new galaxy, in Andromeda, there is a race of Asari, but they're just all men?
That would be incredible.
It's like, oh yeah, no, Asari all over the place, but over here, all men. And then you talk about how, like, well, where I come from, all the Asari are women. They're like, that's so fucking weird.
Right?
I don't know, dude. I'm fucking ready. That's all I
Oh
care.
yeah, like I said, the Mako bits that they've shown look fun.
Yes.
The fucking aliens that we're seeing are great. Like I said, we're seeing so much that looks very interesting. Now that I've paused on that proto citadel, it looks absolutely like a citadel.
The there were a couple interesting things that came out of E3 on top of it. There was, I can't remember if it was a Sony panel or if it was the Ubisoft panel or something, but there was a game coming out that was kind of like a choose your own adventure mystery for, in like a future where there's like robot cops and like robot butlers, and they kind of robot butlers go crazy, and they kind of show you this bit of a story where like this robot servant goes crazy, and like they look human except they've got these little like light up rings on the side of their head, and like they're always blue, but like his was red, like red ring of death, which I don't know if that's like a jab at fucking Microsoft, but should be. Where basically you go through this whole like detective novel-esque type story, and then the choices that you make and kind of how you break it down will dictate the end of the story. So it shows like him, and he's got like the little girl that he used to be friends with, but since he's gone crazy, he's like holding a gun to her, and then like you're trying to talk him down, and like it's a pre-rendered trailer, like it's not actual gameplay, but it's giving you an idea of like here's how the game's gonna run, and they show you about, I'd say about 10 different endings where like you talk him down, or you shoot him, or you know, save the girl, but you and him go over the side of the building or something like that. But it was pretty, there's some pretty cool stuff. Horizon Zero Dawn looks kind of interesting, which was just the redhead running through this, like a futuristic post-apocalyptic Zelda, which kind of looked cool. But that's about it. It's a whole lot of garbage. It's a whole lot of stuff that, like,
Yeah, I was
just
gonna
don't
say
care about.
the new Zelda I was excited for until I watched the trailer and I was just like, oh my God, it's like they're releasing Ocarina of Time again.
Well, why
I
wouldn't
mean,
they?
nicer graphics, but
I mean, you want to talk about going back to a formula?
yeah, right, Taco.
That shit was big. But yeah, I mean, fuck, dude. It's like a lot of games like that I get excited for. Like I'm playing the shit out of Overwatch right now, and it is a
You and
hell of a lot of fun.
everybody else.
Yeah, except for you,
It's true.
jerk. It's fun. It's really fucking enjoyable. So yeah, that's pretty much that. I don't have anything else. It's
Yeah.
weird. Why are you here, Nathan?
I don't
What's
know. Like I
going on?
said, are you scared because I'm here? I might even be here next week. Unless it'll startle you too much. Maybe we might have to ease me back into
Let's just say I won't
the
bet on it.
podcast.
All right, that has been JD Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.